Welcome to our first episode in English. My name is Pedro, and back in 2018, my lab mate Caio and I created this podcast in Portuguese to talk about the little creatures that run the world, insects and other arthropods. The idea of the podcast was just an excuse to teach how science works, how discoveries are made, and why science is our best way of learning how everything works. Today, our team has grown, and we have published over 100 episodes that have been played over 30,000 times. In this episode, we are going to be talking about being a scientist and being a parent. And to accomplish this task, we'll count on the experience of three entomologists. Besides myself, I have here with me today Dr. Raquel Loreto, who just became a mom this year, and Raquel works as a research scientist at the Institut Pasteur in France. Thank you, Raquel, for being here with us today.
Hello, Pedro. Hello, all listeners. Thank you for having me again. It's always a pleasure to be part of this podcast. Yes, Pedro, I've become a mom this year. My little Arthur was born in March, just before the lockdown in France. So he only knows the world with masks, except me and his father. We don't have family here or very close friends, so that's all he knows.
We're living a very different world these times. I have seen some people only with masks, like people you have just met, or that are just acquaintances. I still don't know their whole faces.
Yes.
In addition to Raquel, we also have here with us today Dr. Manuela Ramalho, a postdoctoral researcher from Cory Moreau's lab at Cornell University. Manu is a great expert in bacterial symbionts found in social insects, but she has also been very interested in actively studying the effects of parenting, especially for women, on the life of scientists. Manu and her collaborators have recently published a very interesting paper that we will discuss today, in which they asked myrmecologists, which are scientists that study ants, about their experience in academia at different stages and circumstances. And based on their answers, they evaluated if gender and parenting have affected their careers as scientists. Thank you so much, Manu, for being here with us today.
Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for the invitation and for this opportunity to be talking with you guys about a very important topic for me. Talking about women, parents, and other underrepresented groups in science is always an immense pleasure for me. And why is promoting inclusion and diversity in science is important? Well, if you still wonder why, this quote is for you. To do quality in science, we must be aware of inclusion and diversity, as several studies have been shown. Groups that contain people from different backgrounds have been shown to make science of high quality and great impact. And talking about inclusion and women in science, we also need to challenge the parents, and especially women, have faced every single. And particularly now, we must also consider how these injustices have been exacerbated during this pandemic period. So you're guys talking about how the younger ones are like living in a world with masks now. And I have a little one here at home that she has around 2 years, and she starts to put masks on their dolls.
Yeah, I know, it is sad. That's very nice, Manu. It's also important to say that inclusion is necessary in all the different segments of the society, not only science. Women and other underrepresented minorities, they deserve to have their rights equally to everybody else in all the segments, not only science. And in fact, the pandemic, as I said, my son was born during the pandemic. And as a scientist that lives abroad, because that's very common for scientists, not living in the same hometown as the family, being isolated from the world with a newborn at home, it was fun.
I bet.
Yeah, so let's start our conversation about your recent publication.
Yes, it's a very important conversation, and we're very glad to be able to talk with someone that actually has investigated the topic. So let's go to our questions. So let's start this episode with an overview of Manu's study. Manu, you and your colleagues surveyed myrmecologists around the world, asking about their experience in academia and whether gender or parenting have negatively affected their careers. Could you summarize for us what motivated this study and what were the main results that you have found?
Of course. Thank you so much for asking that. So the motivation for these studies has always existed within me, being a woman and now a mother in academia as well. But I'm also motivated by several other wonderful women and mothers in science who are kind of search of daily inspiration for me. And so for this particular study, it was through an invitation to another myrmecologist, Livia Pires do Prado, that I decided to put these ideas in the paper, working along with other wonderful myrmecologist women. When I received the invitation, I thought about doing a review paper about women and parenting as a study, because there's just few studies on the topic and none about myrmecologic field at that time, especially focusing on our myrmecology, that is the study of ants. So in these studies of parenting myrmecology, for example, we would like to know mainly the impact of arrival of children in our myrmecology career, which often involves field trips, for example. So in this paper, we invited the myrmecological community with and without child to answer an online questionnaire. So research without child served as a control group for our analysis. And our main findings indicated that even after 5 years of the arrival of the children, the scientists' parents are still impacted by the academic activities that involve travel, such as attending a conference or doing field trips. And this is for me was like, whoa, 5 years? I don't have this time. So if you think that it's in these meetings that researchers renew themselves, learn, meet new students, and make new partnerships, we cannot allow all of these parents to be let out of this activity. I don't know what you guys think, but I don't have 5 years to wait until like, and that's the point. We stop to analyze after 5 years. So maybe the impact will be even longer than that. So this is what, this was like, whoa, no, we need to do other things. So to keep the talents in myrmecology, we suggest seeking for measure to include these parents, us, like, there is here in US, what is happening, it is creating a kids space at these events. And this helps a lot. Actually, I bring my daughter to an entomology conference in Canada and it was great. And I know the Evolution Media is also doing this, but this kind of practice, it is more common, at least here in US that I know. But for example, in Brazil, I know that this is not a thing yet. There is few efforts that start to become more common, but we still need to spread the word for the entire world to make more these kind of events inclusive for the entire family.
That's really interesting, Manu. And I forgot to make a disclaimer to our listeners that the three of us study ants. We are all myrmecologists, or at some point we're myrmecologists, and we're all parents as well. So we have some experience to share about this topic.
We know what we're talking about.
Yeah, so I need to say.
Yes, we have been talking about that, yeah.
If you study ants once, you'll be in love with them, so you will consider myrmecology for the entire life. And you know parents as well. You will be parents for entire life.
Your daughter is now 2 years old, almost three. And how that impact your trips and conferences? How have you managed that? Because you are actively publishing, you know, very nice studies.
So the impact from my career, of course, was a lot. But because I have a working in a group, was a team that always supported me and support my, not just my career, my personal life as well. So I always feel a safe environment to like, and with flexible hours to say, hey, today my daughter, it's not feeling good. Is that okay if we move our meeting online, or could we, can I leave early? And this was always optional for me. But outside of the academia, I have a great partner who always like share the house care and the daughter's care like equally. There's no like one thing that I feel that I devoted more than him. So, and I kind of feel that if you don't have partner, but you need to have someone that you trust, that you can help you to share like all of these kind of things, because otherwise you feel like so tired in the end that you don't have time to do anything else. And that is not the point, right? We are parents, but we still are researchers, and we is not just researchers. I need my time to relax for myself.
We are people.
So we need to have fun. fun, not just like being like working and like cooking all day long, right?
So house duties, yes.
Yeah. So for me, like I think the two things, having people who, in my work who supported me, it is important, but have people around like my personal life who supported me, this is was like the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's interesting to mention that, Manu, because I think I have talked like very superficially about this topic with some colleagues and some myrmecology scientists, and sometimes it's not a widely shared opinion, but sometimes people have the opinion that but in myrmecology, you know, I know this woman or this person who is a scientist and she's very successful. I don't think that applies to our area. It's not truth. Your study shows that it does apply, and there are some problems that you found, in particular when the scientist is a woman and a mother. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about that, because in your study you mentioned, for example, that working at home is highly impacted by having children. And when compared to the control group that you mentioned that are researchers without children, you can see a big difference on like how they feel about their productivity. Could you talk a little bit more about this for us, please?
Of course. And so if you got a job here in US, at least, like you have like probably the tenure tracks for a long time. And that means that you need to work sometimes like weekends or crazy hours. And how you can manage that if you have like a little one inside of the house, like seeking for attention all the time. And don't get me wrong, I want to have fun with my daughter. I want to enjoy her. So I need to be very like organize myself, like to have time for the roles, right? So for me, what it's good asking for the scientific community, myrmecological community, about that was like, hey, do you feel that this time in working at home, it is impacting your career? This is when we are asking for the control groups, and they say that was greatly impact their career. And when you're asking for like a parent who has a young child, or if the child was not young anymore, asking how was when your child was younger? Are you able to work at home? And they say that it was very hard. And because we know that this is a very important and could greatly impact your career, this is like a red flag, right? How the parents can handle be working extra hours or do that. And this, again, come back for my statement before, they say that you need to have like people that you trust to help you with that. Because otherwise, will be too hard. And I'm concerned about all the parents that now it's alone, is stuck inside of the house without have like grown-up conversations or maybe like time free, because this is important, especially for keeping your mind in a safe place. So I kind of feel that I say that very often, like for you raise a child, you need a village. It's not like one thing that you can do by yourself. Otherwise, I'm concerned about you because it is too hard for you alone. So you need to have people that you trust to help you with that.
Yeah, in science, we are often away from family, which would be the village that we trust and we rely on. But we managed to do things either way, right, Manu?
Yeah, and definitely the pandemic, it makes everything worse now because we cannot hang out. So Raquel mentioned something really like true, like you. It is very unlikely that we will find a job like close to our parents or the same city that we are born, right? So in academic life, this is basically, I would say, never happened. Like, but other things, like in my experience, I have met amazing people that I totally trust around. But again, this is because I'm working in a team like Moral Lab. It is always like a very excellent group who amazing people who I want to hang out with them all the time, not just because like work related, because they are awesome. So if they are awesome, I want them hang out with my daughter, and I want them like hang out in the weekend. So if I need them to help me with Nikki, they already did that before. So, and here in Ithaca that I'm working now, we are so lucky that we discovered another Brazilians around who also have childs around, and we are kind of helping each other, not through just the pandemic, but like doing everything. Like if something emergent happened with a child, like we are here for all of us. So I kind of feel that that's a healthy way to do parenting with a very nice group around.
Manu, that's very interesting what you just said about having a supportive community, people that can support you, especially when you have a newborn or you have small children and you're trying to get work done, but you're trying to raise a family. That's, I think, a very good transition to the next question that Raquel is going to ask, which has to do with those biases that we find, structural biases in academia and also in other work environments outside academia.
Yes. So, Manu, I would like to know your opinion about both as a woman and as a scientist and an advocate for women in science. This very recent and polemic publication that was published in a serious journal that is well known. This study was about mentorship and how mentors can impact their mentee's career in the long term. And among other results that they present, they came up to a statement that said that having a male mentor might be better for a mentee. And they say that because the results say that a woman, if your mentor is a woman, you're less likely to be successful down the road in your career. I mean, it is impressive that a serious journal published something like this in 2020. I would like to know your opinion about.
That's a very excellent point. So this study hurt me a lot as a woman, as a scientist, a parent, as a foreigner, like someone who lived their country. So receive all of this during the pandemic time was a terrible, terrible, terrible time. So I disagree with the premise and the conclusion of that they reach, so I don't want to give them too much credit saying the name of the journal or the name of the researcher with that, but I'm following several movements of women in science regarding these, and there is even an open letter that you can search this online and find this open letter with that reaffirms all of the supporters of female scientists and scholars at all levels. In this letter, they ask for signatures for everyone who does not agree with the results of these papers. These have been widely disseminated in social media, and I will take this opportunity to invite you, the listeners, join us and sign this letter, regardless of gender, of your gender, to make our scientific community more inclusive and diverse. We need to count with you, with us, to beat this kind of terrible publication that is not helping no one doing quality science.
Leave the link to this open letter form in the description of this episode for the listeners that are interested in supporting.
Yeah, that's excellent. Thank you so much. And please, so I tried to focus in the better thing that came out with that was all hearing all like people that I'm not the only one angry about that. So this was very good. And I hopefully this movement will not stop just with the letter. But please sign. We need you, more people, together on this for be this kind of publication.
And I would like to say, I don't know if we said this already, but Manu, your mentor is a woman, right?
Yes, my mentor is a woman, and this is one was, so I had both women and male mentors in the past, and both have great impacts on my career, and my supervisor now, Cara Moreau, it is one of the best in our field, our mimicological field, so I have lucky to have her. And she's always supported me, not like just my academic life, my professional life, but my personal life. So I really recommend for you have like women mentor in your career. And Curry, it's amazing. Like, and she's also advocated for women science and parenting science and other underrepresented groups in science. So it is. And I think all of these, all of Kari Stone's, everything that she brings to the table, to the lab, makes our work environment pretty awesome. So thank you, Kari.
So you have males and females. Do you think their gender affect you in any way? I mean,
not at all. And by the way, my other, like my male advisor in Brazil, Odair Correa Bueno, he run a lab basically just with women, and he's always supported women science as well. So I think I got lucky. I am super lucky to have like amazing people regardless of genders. Like, and I think what is the worst about this paper is like the woman scientist is always already suffering with several other issues like, we don't have maternity leaves. We don't have, we often don't have a supported lab. So women is facing so much more challenge already in the career that makes them decided to give up in the academia. And we are losing so many talents there. So we don't want to, like, this paper is not helping at all everything that women is already facing. Join us, sign that, and let's forget about this paper forever.
Yeah, it's interesting. So this paper that we don't want to name.
Yeah, it's kind of Voldemort.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit about it before we start recording. And we're compared to a leak pipeline metaphor that Manu mentions in her own study, which for the listeners that are not familiar with this metaphor, talks about how, like, women in science, like in a leak pipeline, at each stage or as far as you go in the pipeline, there is less and less water because the water is leaking from the pipe. So you lose a lot of women in academia at each of the higher stages of academic advancement. So we see that a lot in this paper that we don't want to name. You know, the conclusions are very wrong, but if the data is any good, it's just showing that the leak pipeline is real, because you get people that are in power that are usually men, they're usually white, they usually have, they might, I mean, if they're men, having children may not impact them that much, but
probably this is our next study.
Yeah, that's just a circular argument. So it's like, yeah, you successful labs have men in power because maybe they get more opportunities or the system is such that they are more likely to succeed than women that have fewer opportunities. So what's the point of this paper? It's not adding anything, and it's making wrong conclusions.
I agree.
Yes, definitely. The leaking pipeline for women is a vicious cycle, as you said, Pedro. And this study is, sometimes I still don't believe it's something that it was published, because it's so difficult to publish a good study and they just passed this one.
Yeah, that's totally true and unfair. And in a pandemic, that is so wrong.
Let's go to our third question, so that we leave our disappointment to that paper and go to maybe some of the solutions that we came up being parents in academia, or some strategies that we use. And of course, in an ideal world where bias against mother or bias against gender would not exist, you'd still have other types of pressures left in academia, such as the notion that, like, you should be working 24/7 to become a successful scientist. So I want to ask both Manu and Raquel, what strategies have you found to work in balancing your work life while leaving time for yourself and for your family?
So that is an excellent question. So I think we mentioned a little bit already, but I want to highlight that again. So I think it's one of the biggest challenges of adult life. It is not just off in the myrmecology field. So balancing personal and professional life, that is the hard task for everyone. So, and this is even more complicated when you become a parent, right? I think you two both agree with me on that. And I can't speak for all of the mothers, but for me, what has really worked, it is being able to fully share all my, like, take care of my house and take care of my daughter with a really good partner. So there is all of the activities, like, everything shared. There is no one thing that he's doing more than me or otherwise. So, but I also recognize this is already immense privilege compared to other women and mothers around the world. There is also an expression that for you to raise a child, you need a village. And I believe that it's really true. And this is how brings me so far. Actually, not so far because I'm young, but brings me into here. And don't get me wrong, I'm still working with Nicole, leave the diaper. So I have a lot of things to do, not just being a mom, but as being a scientist as well. So we need to have people around that we can count on. And so to always be able to move forward. And this is particularly worrying for me, especially now during this pandemic time, with all the mothers isolated at home, often alone with all the household chores, plus the childcare,
plus online classes and many, many, many Zoom meetings. So we need to take care of all of these mothers. And I wish I can hug all of them and say that you are not alone. So I'm with you. I have a clue what you are experiencing right now. So I think this is also a great opportunity to say for everyone who is in a place where they are able to make an action or a decision about it. So we need to rethink deadlines and measurement advantages of scientific career, that all of these mothers and women of science are not even more harmful in the coming next years. If you think the way that we have valued the careers for women and seeing that women are already submitting less paper compared to men during this pandemic time, and this is even worse when you're considered moms in academia. So we need to do something. We need to change the way that we are analyzing this for the future, for the next years. Otherwise, we'll be even worse. What do you think, Raquel?
Yes, I agree. The model that we're following in academia is doomed for women. And overall, I think the academia model is not doing so well, but especially for women, for mothers. And I think every woman that works in academia or everywhere has a story where they have suffered some type of sexism. Every woman might have a story that they directly suffer some, they felt offended or they were excluded or some sexism event that they experienced. I have one in academia life that I passed in a conference where someone said, I'm nervous for my talk. And I said, I'm nervous too. And then this person come and said, oh, but you're pretty. You don't need to, people just need to look on you. They don't need to listen to you. And I'm like, oh my God. And this was another woman who told me that. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst thing I could hear right now or ever.
I'm so sorry for that.
Yeah. So it's like, you're doing a hard work. You're giving hours and hours of work, and it doesn't matter, because if you look okay, that's fine. Seriously, it's really bad. I agree with Manu. This needs to change. What I do to try to balance life in personal, professional, and personal, including now being a mother, because less than a year ago, this was a reality for me. Of course, I share everything with my husband. If it needed, I go earlier and he drops the baby and in the daycare, I come early or he comes earlier to pick up the baby. We always have a flexible arrangement, which it's possible because we are in academia. To be honest, we have this flexibility, which helps a little bit. Unfortunately, I live in France. We moved here for 2.5 years ago, so we don't have this village that is so important. It's really two of us taking care of the baby, so it is sometimes very heavy. Of course, all the joy is there.
Yeah,
but what I do is when I'm at work now, I feel like I can be more focused and directed to what I need to do on that day. Because if I don't finish the day that I need to pick up him in the crash, in the daycare, then I don't finish. I need to leave. I'm not going to leave my baby in the streets. Yeah. So I need to be more focused. I need to be more planned, more organized. So that helps to organize better my days. And when I come home, I try to dedicate the time to him, to the baby, because otherwise I'm working hard and paying someone else to spend all the time with my child. I mean, what's the point of that? That's not what we're doing here, you know. If you want to have kids just to live with someone else, I know it's hard and the marketing wants you to work all the time, but it's on us to say, I did my job today. This is enough. I have a life. Here in France, it's funny because there is something that they say here that different from the United States, that they don't they don't live to work, they work to live. So they work as they need, but that's not their life. When I got pregnant, I went to the medical work doctor that there is in the Institute Pasteur where I work, because we work with different things that might harm. There are some chemicals that are harmful that we need to be extra careful. And as pregnant, some of the reagents you cannot handle. So you need to go there and talk to them. And the doctor said something to me that I'll never forget. She said, you and your babe come first. Your job is just a job. If you're not here, anyone can do it. You come first. Your babe comes first. the job will be done one way or another. So that helped me. This different way of seeing life definitely helps me. I don't feel as much pressure as I felt when I was in the United States, because this pressure exists there very much. Yeah. So I think being more focused at work, sharing things with my husband because I don't have anyone else here. And when I'm with the baby, I am with the baby. I'm not doing other stuff like work related. Otherwise, I don't do any of them. So quality time with the baby also, it helps.
Of course. And you definitely don't want to miss that.
Exactly. So that's how I balance things.
And you are doing an amazing job, Raquel.
Hopefully that they think the same.
Of course, you're the best mom for him.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true.
Yeah, those are very interesting points that you both raised, which is the fact that, I mean, the three of us, we live in cities where we don't have other relatives besides our own family. So we all live or have relocated because of academia. And during this pandemic, it's even harder to like find support, even like if friends want to support, you know, social distancing, masks, you have to be careful. And it's even harder like to offer or accept help. But the pandemic's not forever. And we know that.
I hope so.
Yeah, there are resolutions being developed. But I found very interesting that, you know, what I was going to say was like, think that you guys mentioned, you know, having being aware of like other tasks or tasks that each partner can help with in like the house chores and the childcare. But I found very interesting the points that you guys emphasized about having a supportive community, because you can support women in academia in many different ways. You don't even need to be like a parent to know that you can help like a colleague in your department, in your laboratory that have children. So I have seen like websites, for example, where you can offer to make a meal, for example, for someone while they, you know, they need to like write a grant or something like that. And so there are many other ways that you can support women in science that is not necessarily like just giving comforting words or something like that. What do you guys think?
No, I agree. And I think like everything, it is a question of opportunity around where you are. Like, look around, know the people that are around you. Do you think you could you help them? And I often, like, my main tip for everyone in academia, even like starting a new PhD or starting a grad school, it is like you need to take care of yourself. Otherwise, you're not able to do anything else. And thinking and take care of yourself, it is considering our minds and doing things that make you happy. So we need to continue doing this with women science as they are going through advancing their careers, right? And we need to do this with moms in science as well and new parents in science, because I think it is true that women's facing more challenge than men, but there's a lot of parents, male parents, that is also like facing challenge to raise, take care of the kids at home. So look around, see where, be a good friend, be a good support and love. It is part of you offer and also receive feedbacks and help. So I think it is a two-way path. You need to offer help and also be able to receive, and like making friends around you, this will make you healthy, mentally healthy, and able to you go through all of this academia process without, don't get crazy, because this is the more also a really challenge keeping the healthy minds during the grad school, for example. So we need to take care of each other. And thank you for this opportunity to talk about what we are doing today. This is definitely our another way to support human science and parenting science. So thank you so much for all the listeners, and also for you, Pedro, and other people that it's also helping with this podcast. This is amazing opportunity for all of us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Manu, and thank you, Raquel, for being here today. And yeah, with that, let's finish the episode today, because as parents in science, we have to do other stuff now.
Oh, yeah.
So, Raquel, would you like to say something before we go?
Yes. Well, thank you, Pedro, again for inviting me, and thank you for the listeners for being here with us. I agree with Manu. Everybody can help everybody. The pandemic here is not, it's kind of not allowing this so much, but you know, we only move forward together. So let's change the vision of women's science, parenting science, and everywhere else. We can only do that together.
Excellent. So until the next episode, and bye.
Bye.
Bye.